Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Currently doing the etiquettes of travel, and under this we are doing the etiquettes or the adab as far as taking care of animals are concerned. And we explain that the beauty of our deen is, the beauty of Islam is, everyone's rights is taken care of to such an extent that a person doesn't focus on his rights, he focuses on his obligations. That what am I expected to do, how am I expected to fulfill the rights of my neighbors, my parents, my children, my teachers, my fellow musallis, fellow people that are staying in my country, my fellow Muslim brothers, wherever they may be. All the time he's thinking about his rights that he owes people, to such an extent that Shariat has even given animals rights. Shariat, as we'll see in this two ahadith that we do today to complete the chapter, that Shariat is actually the champion of animal rights. So beautiful things that people don't even think about, Shariat has made it such that we must think about. That these animals that can't speak, like the hadith we did yesterday, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning us about animals, these things can't speak, they can't express themselves, but doesn't mean that because they can't express themselves, we can take advantage of the animals. So even in today's hadith, we'll appreciate the beauty of taking care of even animals. Imagine, to understand the context of this, we must realize that this was at a time when a person just showed love to his own children. They considered this to be against manliness, to be against a man that is showing love to children. And then for them to bury their daughters alive was absolutely nothing. It was normal for them to make tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif naked. So this, coming from that background, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching such refinement even as far as animals are concerned. An Abi Ja'far, Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiyallahu anhu, qal, أردفني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم خلفه وأسر إلي حديثا لا أحدث به أحدا من الناس وكان أحب ما استتر به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لحاجته هدف أو حائش نخل يعني حائط نخل رواه مسلم هكذا مختصرا وزاد في البرقاني بإسناد مسلم بعد قوله حائش نخل فدخل حائطا لرجل من الأنصار فإذا فيه جمل فلما رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جرجر وذرفت عيناه فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمسح سراته أي سنامه وذفراه فسكن فقال من رب هذا الجمل لمن هذا الجمل فجاء فتى من الأنصار فقال هذا لي يا رسول الله قال أفلا تتقي الله في هذه البهيمة التي ملكك الله إياها فإنه يشكو إلي أنك تجيعه وتدئبه رواه أبو داود كرواية البرقاني حضرت أبو جعفر عبد الله بن جعفر رضي الله عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم made me rein behind him one day and he confined me to something which I will never relate to anyone. So once Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم made me ride behind him on the animal, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me something. The narrator of the hadith is saying, Abdullah ibn Ja'far radiallahu anhu is saying, that what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, I will never tell it to anyone. Now ulama explained that it was a matter that was a personal matter that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him. Because if it was a dini matter, then to conceal it becomes a guna, it becomes a sin. That this is a matter of deen, and for the whole ummah to know. If it is a private matter, that is something else. So therefore he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me something which I will never relate it. So ulama explained this was a private matter. Anyway, the hadith goes on to say, Hazrat Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhu says, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered the call of nature, the place he liked most for concealing himself was a wall or a date orchard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would like to take some type of parda, some type of concealment, either a wall that was blocking him from the public, from anybody to see, or he would like to go in an orchard. You know, orchard generally it is dense, a lot of trees there, date palms, etc. So there's a lot of privacy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would like this privacy when he would relieve himself. Those days it was not like how we had now, when a person is moving or he's traveling or he's going out, then a person stops at the garage and there's ready-made toilets, etc. Those days when they were traveling, if they had came to an area where there was a wall that gave them some privacy, they would relieve themselves behind that wall, or if there was an orchard where there were some date palms, then to go in there and take some privacy, this is what they would do. So anyway, he's explaining this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would like, because of the level of concealment that you would get there. This was the haya of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this narration in Muslim Sharif just finishes off there. There's another narration that continues with this incident. Al-Barqani adds, with the chain of narrators of Muslim Sharif, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered an orchard belonging to one of the Ansar, in which there was a camel. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam went into an orchard. It belonged to an Ansari. And in that orchard, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw one camel there. When this camel saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it cried out and its eyes started watering. Allah Ta'ala makes it such so that today we can learn that how animals also can express themselves. This was a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that animal saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, immediately he made out that this is the Nabi of Allah. So this animal also started crying out and it started tearing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to this camel, he stroked its hump and behind its ears. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stroked this camel behind its ears and on its hump, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam calmed this camel down. So this camel was crying out, it had some emotional issue that it wanted to explain and tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam calmed the animal down. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked it, who owns this camel? Who is the owner of this camel? To whom does this camel belong? A young boy from the Ansar came and said, it belongs to me, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told this boy, young boy, that do you not fear Allah with regards to this animal over which Allah Ta'ala gave you ownership? Do you not fear Allah with regards to this camel? Allah Ta'ala gave you ownership over this camel. This camel is complaining. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then tells what this camel is complaining about. He says that it is complaining to me that you starve it and that you tire it. Imagine. Animal is complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This person is starving it and it's tiring it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam here warned us about taking care of animals. One more hadith to finish off this section. And Anasin radiallahu anhu qal, kunna idha nazalna manzilan la nusabbihu hatta nahulla ar-rihal. Rawahu Abu Dawud bi isnadi ala sharti muslimin. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that when we used to stop over at a place, we would not engage in optional salat until we offloaded the goods from our conveyances. That when we stopped over at any place, we would not even engage in nafil salat before we offloaded the goods from our conveyance. What it meant is that if we get off at certain place and we leave that goods on that animal, there's extra load on that animal, so there's extra pressure on that animal. So before we can even read any nafil salat, we would offload that animal, so give that animal a little bit of comfort. Imagine from where to where, in a situation where no, even human beings were not respected. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught sahaba so much to respect animals, that they wouldn't even create extra weight on that animal. So the moment they reached his place, offloaded that animal first, then they would engage in the nafil namaz. So that was the level of consideration that sahaba had. For us to understand, if the car is overloaded, if its weight is there, and we just park it off, then it's unnecessary weight. But normally we don't mind doing that because the cars can take that weight. But animal, it's got feelings, it's got emotions. Allah Ta'ala has created it such that it also feels the burden of standing with that weight. This would be taken off to make that animal feel light. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, do not use the backs of animals as mimbers. What you do on a mimber, you sit on a mimber and you speak from it. In other words, don't just use the back of the animal to sit there and talk. Because that extra weight on that animal, you're only using it to sit and talk. Sitting, one person sitting on one animal, another person sitting on another animal, you're using the back of the animal as a place to sit, as a mimber, as a chair. Don't even do that. Don't create unnecessary weight on the animal. Look at the beauty of our deen. Ulama explain that it's preferable also, before a person can even eat, to give that animal something to eat, when you stop at a place, and then you go and engage in any type of food that you need to eat. But take care of the rights of the animal. Look at the beauty of our deen, the beauty of our Islam, how much it teaches us and how much it shows us. One, two other things we learn from this hadith quickly is that when a person needs to relieve himself, the first hadith, he should always do it in a place where he's completely concealed and not exposed to others. Then the first part, Hadith, Abdullah bin Jafar radiallahu anhu said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put me behind him. So ulama explained that it is permissible to, for two people to sit on an animal, so long as that animal can take that weight. It's a big animal, is no problem. If, however, if it is a smallish animal that can't take the weight, or is two big people, big size people, then they shouldn't be sitting and causing extra pressure on that animal. And that other lesson we get from here is one should always encourage people to be compassionate to the creation of Allah. All the creation of Allah Ta'ala, we should show some compassion and some love. Unfortunately, nowadays you get, if there happens to be a cat that is walking in our yard, people want to throw stones at it and want to hit it and be cruel to it. But Islam is teaching us that be compassionate even to these other creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the one last point that we can take out from here is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was known as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was known as a mercy to all the creations. And from here you can see how he was a mercy to all the creation. All the creation of Allah Ta'ala benefited from the mercy that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed. Allah Pa'a give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi.